Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're delighted to have you on board. Another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's always my joy and delight to come to you by way of this radio broadcast. We invite you to participate. In fact, you can do so by dialing 401-1413. You can jump in the dialogue and discussion any day, any time, at any moment during the course of the broadcast to let your thoughts be heard and join in the discussion. I found so many times, ladies and gentlemen, as you call in, you add so much more to the broadcast program and the enhancement of the broadcast for other listeners. So you can become a part of it. The Let's Face the Issues broadcast is designed as a Q&A program. Although as we have some elongated subjects, sometimes it makes it difficult to get all of our callers in, but we're delighted to have you call in. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That's what he had said to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then he makes a definitive, dogmatic statement about the word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we look at issues based on the truth of the word of God, the scripture. God's word is truth, not partial truth, but all truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that, especially during this Christmas season, that we can come to you in this broadcast. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think ought to have the attention of every Christian. I think if you're listening today, you need to basically stop what you're doing. Tune into the broadcast. Take notes if necessary. Recall, by all means, some of the things that we're going to say. Because we're in the Christmas season, and may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to know how to have a right Christmas, to have a right, R-I-G-H-T. A lot of folks talk about how to have a white Christmas. Well, I don't think we'll be concerned about that here in our state. But I think that whatever state you're in, we need to know how to have a right Christmas. We're talking about based on the Word of God, a right Christmas. Christmas. Exactly what is Christmas? What's Christmas all about? Is it about the decorations? There are a lot of folks that have some wonderful, wonderful, beautiful decorated homes. In fact, not too long ago, I talked with an individual that said that she had a Christmas tree in every room in her home, fully dressed out, fully decorated, fully lighted. Nothing wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen, if that's what you enjoy doing. It makes it beautiful. I think at Christmas time, we ought to have what I call show and shine, that the world might see that we're showing and shining for the Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating his birthday. But is Christmas all about the decorations? We love to shop and get gifts and exchange gifts. And the amount of the gift is not the thing that is so important, how much you spend on it, but it's the motivation behind the gift. But ladies and gentlemen, is Christmas about shopping? Is Christmas about special dinners? Though this time of the year, there are special dinners and special meetings and special banquets and so forth for the parties and gatherings for the professional people, those that are in the offices and shops and stores and where you're having invitation from others to come over and visit for a special dinner, even special Christmas luncheons. Sightseeing is wonderful. It's beautiful to drive down the streets at night in all parts of our city. and see some of the beautiful subdivision entrances, the way they're decorated with the lighting and the tinsel and the beauty of it, the sightseeing. Is that all that Christmas is about? Is Christmas about just family gatherings? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how to have a right Christmas. Is Christmas about family gatherings? Though I don't know of anything any more comforting, enjoying, any more of a blessing than to have family together at Christmas time, to be able to visit with them, see them, especially if they're from out of the city, the outer state, far distances, that you can come together as a family. But is that all Christmas is about? Most people today, ladies and gentlemen, simply see Christmas as an annual tradition, void of any special spiritual emphasis or meaning. Most today, even as Christians, celebrate Christmas simply as a secular gathering time. In fact, I forgot the number, but I believe it's something like only about 46% of Christians celebrate Christmas as a holy day and not just a holiday. I recall the celebration of Christmas and growing up. Some of you might relate to this. Some of you might have a comment relationship to it. But I remember as growing up as a child, grew up with a mother that loved the Lord. I grew up with a mother that was a Christian. And I don't know of a time in growing up at home as a young lad at Christmas time that we were not reminded of the reason of Christmas being the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And now I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, I grew up in an era when we had nothing. Very, very, very little would we have. But my mother always made sure that somehow, some way, with her long hours of work and low pay, that we had something as a token, if nothing else, a token gift for Christmas. But the focus was always that it's Jesus' birthday. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about this Christmas celebration, as we rush through the very busy schedule and the excitement and the fun and the celebration, it's so easy to lose sight of the real meaning of Christmas. And I know you've heard it so often, it's almost like the slogan is worn out. Jesus is the meaning, is the reason for the season. That's so true. Jesus is the real meaning, the reason for the season. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. All of us know just how difficult it is to balance our regular schedules and yet somehow, some way, keep focus on the real significance of Christmas. I know even in a church setting and a theological institution and in ministry, with so many things that need to be done in the balance of the services and the preparation and all of the things that are the associated parts thereof, that it's so easy to get caught up in that and not to recognize the real reason for the celebration is Jesus Christ. You'll recall, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus came into the world, when Jesus Christ was born a little over 2,000 years ago. Now, let me just touch on this. Jesus didn't just begin to exist then. Jesus has pre-existed from before the foundation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. According to Colossians 1:13 through 18, Jesus is the one who did the creation. When we study the book of Job, the latter portion of Job, I believe the 42nd chapter of Job, we find out that when Jesus Christ did the creating, God created, but it's Jesus is God. That even the angels looked over the balcony of heaven and watched as he was doing the creation in Genesis 2:1-2. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it's easy to lose focus of the real reason and significance of Christmas, and it's easy to have no room for Jesus when we are involved as heavily as we are so often in society. You recall that when Jesus was born, the scripture says there was no room for him in the inn. And we'll talk about that a little later in this broadcast. So Jesus was born in a stable. Perhaps you can identify with the truth of there being no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how to have a right Christmas. And I know that that's what you're wanting to do this Christmas. If you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're dealing with how to have a right Christmas. May I ask the question, though, is there any room in this year's Christmas celebration in your home, in your life, in your living, in your scheduling? Is there room for Jesus today? Don't allow the world to crowd out the Lord Jesus Christ on his birthday. What if you were to have a birthday celebration? All your friends, relatives, and neighbors, and all your acquaintances and co-workers are invited to come. And everybody comes and they exchange gifts and everybody gets a gift but you. And it's your birthday. That's literally what we do on the birth of Jesus and the celebration of Jesus' birthday. We leave Jesus out. So I want us to think about for a moment now, for the balance of this broadcast, how to have a right Christmas. There's an old song that says, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Well, we haven't had a white Christmas in this state as far back as I can recall. Little snow flurries back in the mid-80s, but it didn't stay on the ground more than 15 minutes. But we're not going to talk about a white Christmas, but how to have a right Christmas. And to have a right Christmas, we ought to see, seek God and God's face in our lives and how we should celebrate Christmas in a manner that would please him. How to have a right Christmas. What should be our steps to be sure that we celebrate? Perhaps you're already on track for doing this. You may not. Some of you, this is just a reminder of what you're already doing, and I'm delighted to think that. Some of you have perhaps never even considered how to put things in order that you can have a right Christmas. What are some of the steps? I look at the scripture, and as I look at the scripture, I see it so well identified for us as the right steps. And I believe that biblically, there are four things that we ought to do, ladies and gentlemen, to have a right Christmas. And I'll just give you the overview of those, and then we're going to look at these steps one step at a time. If we have a right Christmas, we must make room for Jesus. Number two, we must make time to worship Jesus. Number three, we must make time to witness for Jesus. And number four, we must make our wealth available for Jesus. First of all, we must make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the Bible, biblical story. I'll not take time to read all of the verses, but in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with about verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they're abiding in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how to have a right Christmas. Jesus came in the first Christmas, and that's what you find in the birth story of Jesus. It's the celebration of the first Christmas. And in the first Christmas, there was no room for Jesus Christ. Usually at Christmas season, Jesus is crowded out of our lives. And I want us to look at two or three things, maybe four, that we utilize so often and we're involved in so often that literally crowds Jesus Christ out of Christmas. One of the first things on that list is shopping. Shopping. Going and getting and buying and spending and searching for just the right gift for mom and for dad or for son or daughter, leaving no room for the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Here's an article that says, according to the study performed by the National Retail Federation, Americans will spend more money on gifts in 2018 than they did the last year. Gallup research poll, U.S. adults estimate that they will spend approximately $885 on gifts this year, slightly lower than the 2017's expectation. Below is an average of those findings. Share those averages. 33% expect to spend at least $1,000 on gifts. 22% expect to spend between $500 and $999 on gifts. 29% expect gift spending to be between $1,000 and $499. 3% plan to spend less than $100 on gifts. And it goes on to divide it up into different demographics and the locations and what is spent. Regardless of what is spent, ladies and gentlemen, the shopping this Christmas season every year is the manufacturers and merchants' gold mine, because they realize that all they've got to do is market Christmas as Santa Claus or as Merry Xmas, or however they want to call it. And unfortunately, multitudes of Christians will spend God's money in their pocket to merchants that reject Jesus, reject any Christmas celebration, reject any saying Merry Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. But nevertheless, the whole point is that one of the primary things, several things that will crowd Jesus out of this Christmas for you and for your family, and that is shopping. My bride will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and by the way, she's been my bride for about, I reckon about 55, 56 years. But my bride will go into a store and she likes to look at everything in there. And that's the way she shops. That's all right. But when I go into a store, I've got a pretty good idea of what I want. I go to that department if I know the store. I find it or it's not there, and I leave. But there's nothing wrong with the joy of shopping. In fact, I think with a lot of people, it's their sedative, if you will, is to go shop. Some use the term shop until you drop. But during the Christmas season, shopping is one of the primary things that prevents Jesus Christ from being in the season. Shopping crowds Jesus out of the Christmas season. Secondly, not only shopping, we're talking about several things that will crowd Jesus out. Shopping is number one. Sightseeing is number two. Looking at all the beautiful sights of Christmas. Now, I am thankful to have the gift of sight and the privilege of being able to see things and the joy of seeing things, especially at Christmas time. I think it's one of the most beautiful times of the year, and it ought to be that, I believe, because we're celebrating the birth of the King, the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, where God broke through history and came into this old world. And according to John chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus Christ came that he might exegete, reveal, to show forth God to man and relate man to God. Ladies and gentlemen, shopping will keep us from seeing Jesus. Sightseeing many times at the Christmas season gets so involved in looking at the beautiful lights and the scenery and the decoration that's so beautiful, it's so easy to lose sight of the focus of Jesus. Yes, there are those that enjoy sightseeing. There are those that enjoy shopping at the Christmas season that have no thought, give no thought, no secondary or tertiary thought to what the shopping and sightseeing is about, and it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I enjoy seeing houses where it's fully decorated. Now, I don't go into the major mega decoration myself. I like the simplistics of a beautifully decorated tree that my bride has such a large hand in seeing that it is done. I enjoy that. There's some, I believe, that can go to an extreme. Back a number of years ago, one of the Fox News personalities talked about he would spend $10,000 in December on his power bill because the millions of lights that he had put out by professionals all over his house, around his house and in his yards, and that he rejoiced in having the spectacle of that and people coming far and wide to see the beauty of his decoration. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but sightseeing, ladies and gentlemen, can take our focus off the real reason for the season, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Shopping, sightseeing, and the third thing that will take our focus off and will crowd Jesus out. We're talking about for Christmas to be what God would have it to be, we need to make room for Jesus. Shopping will crowd him out. Sightseeing will crowd him out. Socializing, one party after another, family get-togethers, office get-togethers, office parties, planning and cooking out. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year for that. But what about room in that schedule for Jesus? Have you allocated room in your schedule this Christmas season? Have you set aside time to pray about Jesus and his first coming and thank God for it? Have you allocated time to study the birth story and the synoptic gospels to see what the Word of God says about it? We must make room for Jesus Christ. In fact, the verse comes to mind, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, it requires a definite planning and focus, a decision to put Jesus in our lives in the Christmas season. Don't leave Jesus out. Don't drop out of church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday evening. Don't just decide that on Sunday's a good time that you can shop and forget worship. That's leaving Jesus Christ out of the Christmas season. So we must, ladies and gentlemen, make room for Jesus. Secondly, we must make time to worship Jesus. You remember the story in Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, with the wise men seeking Jesus. And I understand that this is some 24 months, 2 years approximately, after the actual birth of Jesus. But the wise men sought Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him. You study the second chapter of Matthew, and you find in verses 1 through 10, the search by the wise men, the search. They sought Jesus. They spent many, many, many days and perhaps months, if you please, following the star. In fact, in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, they knew their Old Testament prophecy of the star that would identify Yeshua Messiah's birth and the birthplace. And so they were following the star, and their search continued for months and months and months. They were searching for Messiah. They were searching for Jesus. They wanted to find him and worship him. And you know the story, because the king was worried about his kingship and his position, because he'd heard the story of a king that had been born. In fact, in the text it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, these were wise men, and as I say so often, they were wise in their search, they were wise in their submission, they were wise in their surrender, they were wise in their gifts and giving, because they were searching for the Messiah. But ladies and gentlemen, we must make time to worship Jesus. These wise men searched for him until they found him. When they found him in verses 10 and 11, they were submitted to him. The scripture says they fell down and worshiped him. That indicates submission. That indicates humility. That indicates a willingness to prostrate oneself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Christmas time, ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not know it. Let me shock you if you have not heard it. Christmas time is the lowest time in church attendance across America. You know that? It's the lowest attendance time. Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, and if churches have Wednesday evening services, many churches across America at this season will literally close their doors on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights. Why do they do that? So often it's not because they desire to, but it's simply because the members will not show up, because they're involved in the shopping and the sightseeing and the socializing that Jesus Christ is literally left out of the Christmas season. We must make room for Jesus. We must make time to worship Jesus. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, simply, we do not make time for him. Some say, well, I don't have time to worship. I don't have time to go to church. I'll wait until after the Christmas season. I want to get the gifts. I want to wrap the gifts. I want to decorate the tree. I want to go shopping. I want to look at the sights and the scenes, and I want to be involved in the aura and the pace of Christmas. But you're leaving Jesus Christ out. And Jesus, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason for the season. And that's not just a cliche. But if Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no Christmas. Had Jesus Christ never been born, there would be no Christian. If Jesus Christ had never come, there would be no church. If Jesus Christ had not come the first time, we would not be looking for him to come the second time. So we need to rejoice, ladies and gentlemen, in the coming of Jesus the first time. We must make room for Jesus in our lives at Christmas time. We must make time to worship Jesus at Christmas time. And thirdly, we must make time to witness for Jesus at Christmas. The announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ first came to the shepherds in the scripture in the Luke's gospel. It came to the shepherds, ladies and gentlemen. And may I remind us, in the text as we study it, it finds And the angels, verse 10, and the angels said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13 and following. We're in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Ladies and gentlemen, we must make time to witness for Jesus. When the announcement came to the shepherds in the field, as they were watching their flock by night, they, first of all, made a sure decision, a sure decision. They said, let us go now with no delay, no haste. Let us go now and find him that we might worship him. They immediately went to find Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And immediately after finding him, there was a spontaneous declaration in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18. What was that spontaneous declaration? They found Jesus, they fell down, worshiped him, and then when they left, they told everybody about Christ that he had been born. Witnessing should be a natural, integral part of every believer's life. And often during the Christmas season, it's difficult to get believers to reach out and reach in the communities around them as a soul winner, as a witness, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got a gospel track rack in the vestibule of our church. I think there's about 65 or 70 slots there, each one filled with a different gospel track. And I don't say this in a boasting fashion, but I've been in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches down through the years, and I don't know of any church facility that will have any greater number of witnessing tools, gospel tracks in particular, than we have here at our church. And members and guests are invited to select tracks, take them out and place them in the hands of someone that you don't know. Especially during the Christmas season, hand them a track, say, let me give you a gift today. Let me share with you about Christ today. Let me share with you about the birthday of whom we're celebrating this day. Let me give you this gospel track and introduce you to Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we must make room for Jesus. We must make room to worship Jesus. We must make room to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But fourthly, ladies and gentlemen, in these final few moments of this broadcast, we're talking about the subject today, how to have a right Christmas. Fourth thing that we must do, we must make our wealth, our resources available to Jesus. In Matthew, the second chapter, 10th, 11th, and 12th verses, these wise men, when they found Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, they fell down and worshiped him. And the scripture says, the servants surrendered to him and the servants sacrificed for him. Ladies and gentlemen, they found him, the Lord Jesus Christ. They fell down and worshiped him. There must be, first of all, the surrender of your heart. There must be the surrender of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If we surrender our hearts, if we give our lives to him unto salvation. Have you said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me? If not, why not? If not, when? If you've not already done so, why not at this Christmas season? These wise men fell down and they surrendered to Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be willing to bow before Christ to make room for him with no pride. We must say, yes, Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the second thing these wise men did, they were wise in their search. They were wise in their surrender. They were also wise in their sacrifice. The scripture says they gave of their time. Ladies and gentlemen, they were searching for months and months and months, according to the first 10 verses of the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. When they found Jesus, they gave him their treasure, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the most valuable products, if you please, of that day. That was the most valuable prized possessions anyone could have. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, they gave of their time, they gave of their treasure, they gave of their trust, because in that 12th verse in Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, it says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. They trusted what was said there. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, at this Christmas season, you must make a decision, a volitional choice, to surrender to Jesus Christ. There's no greater joy. There's no possibility of having a great celebration of Christ's birthday until you know Christ as Savior and as Lord. I urge you, I commend to you salvation today. I invite you, ladies and gentlemen, say yes to Jesus Christ that we might truly realize He is the reason for the season. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.